Hey, everybody. It is Amy Riccardi. We are on episode number 6. It is Saturday, November 15th. We are not quite 2 weeks out from the election. Got a lot of things going on here today, so I want to just jump in. This might be a little bit longer than normal, and I just want to let everybody know that because there's a lot to cover. So super excited. Yesterday, a million MAGA rallies. There are actually two different rallies that happened in DC yesterday. And if you haven't been checking and watching social media at all, or you've only been watching mainstream media, you would get the impression that the MAGA folks started some trouble as they were, you know, doing their rallies yesterday. And to be perfectly honest with you, this is just a big load of BS. It didn't happen. The reality of what actually happened downtown here in DC was that 99% of the people had left around 5 or 6 o'clock last night and had made their way to the metros and out of the city. There were plenty of people though that were staying in hotels last night and sticking around. Some people that were leaving the main areas lingered, maybe stopped and grabbed something to eat, and Antifa showed up. And some BLM folks too, but I think mostly Antifa folks showed up. Maybe they were there the whole entire day. There was rumors that they were going to try to mix and mingle within the MAGA folks. So, I mean, who knows where they came from, but nonetheless, they were there intentionally. We had caught wind of that earlier this week in social media. There was a lot of tipping off of the fact that the MAGA folks, the Antifa folks were going to be mixing in with MAGA. Who knows? Long story short, you'll see on social media, if you go on any of the mainstream ones too, mostly Twitter, but in some of the other places too, people that had stopped at the restaurant, the outdoor restaurants that are right out by the JW Marriott and a couple of other places, there were fireworks thrown at people, MAGA folks that were sitting outside eating, which obviously scares the crap out of people, which it should. It's intended to do that. A lot of harassing, a lot of verbal harassing, outright illegal activity, people getting threatened, people having things thrown at them, people getting KO'd and blindsided from behind and then kicked, phone stolen. I mean, I've seen so many of these videos now, and I've been keeping a whole separate note section here on just, I call it the left's hate. And it's a dozen video clips of stuff that happened last night. Somewhere around 9 p.m., I would say probably a little bit earlier than that, but at 9 p.m., there were some calls out that everybody was kind of meeting up at that intersection of Pennsylvania Avenue, right where the JW Marriott meets Pennsylvania, which is literally 2 blocks from the White House. It's like 1 block over. So it'd be, I think, 14th, because 15th is right next to the White House. So it'd be 14th and Pennsylvania. So the Proud Boys showed up and fought off a lot of the Antifa folks initially, and everybody was kind of wondering, where are the cops in all of this? The cops rolled in way late in the game. Who knows why? I mean, I have some guesses, but whatever. So there were some issues around that. There was issues around during the day around whether or not either the DC government or Facebook throttled back Facebook Lives and or internet connectivity in the city to keep people from streaming the event live. There was a lot of problems with that towards the tail end of it, which was insane. So anyway, a lot of crazy going on right now. I think everybody's rightfully really, really pissed off, as they should be, because this is just a bunch of crap that's going on. So MAGA March, awesome, huge success. I'm sure there'll be more all around the country. Jump in on those if you can. Great energy, a lot of fun, a lot of patriots. Everybody is really excited about participating in them. And a whole group of our friends that went from our Women's Republican Club, they had a phenomenal time, great photos. So I'm super excited about those. I'm sure we'll have some more here too. All right, so that's a bucket of stuff that happened. And I'm going to just kind of keep it in this little silo for now. The next big thing that, if you didn't see it this morning, I put out a preview this morning about Marie Bartiromo's interview of Sydney Powell and others this morning on her show. If you missed it, in the show notes is the link to Sydney Powell's interview with Maria on Fox News. So I actually pulled the clip and I'll put it in the show notes below so you can actually watch the whole thing. So here's, you know, for those of you guys that want the Cliff Notes version of what's happened until now, and only some of you know what Cliff Notes are, but if you just want the kind of summary Cliff Notes of what's happened and transpired so far, you've heard something probably about Dominion voting systems and their shady business. And Sydney Powell is really diving and digging really deep into this. And the short is, it's a Canadian company. It runs actually voting systems in 30 states. It originally was 28, but I think they actually have a couple of ancillary products that they use in 30 different states and touch 30 different states worth of election results. The software was originally created, I think, by the CIA in order to be able to impact and manipulate elections globally in other places of the world, one of which being Venezuela. All right, so there's a lot of shady connections of people to. Again, go watch Sydney Powell's interview, and actually I would watch all of Maria's show yesterday because frankly, you know, there's a lot of fill in the blanks that are in the show. But the long story short is the software system connects and has a connection with another like Systematic or something like that. Some other software component actually analyzes election results. And that data is analysis is done in Barcelona, Spain, but the servers are in Germany. So what actually has transpired, I think two nights ago, as I mentioned in my preview, was that I think Army Special Forces, along with the German police, raided the facility that had those servers, and they got the servers. And that data has now been analyzed. So I am starting to see now out on the internet some people that have done new election maps based on the data that was collected, and I'm still digging into it. But the preliminary numbers are pretty astounding that I'm seeing. And even if you don't believe the fullest extent of what those look like, which I'm skeptical, I'm very skeptical actually of some of it. If you dial it back even a little bit, my guess is if this is allowed to get discovered, that we're looking at a Trump win somewhere between 3037 and 367, or 333 and 367 in the Electoral College. I don't even know. There's so many different options and scenarios for how this could play out right now. I don't even know. But do look for all of this stuff to get unloaded literally this, I think early this week is my guess. Now, that's a lot to take in because I think everybody's first take is, well, why the hell is it taking so long for this stuff to happen? And not just with the elections, but even historically. I think that, again, I think Trump is playing three-dimensional chess while the Democrats are playing checkers. And I think he had to have some things in place in order to be able to actually uncover the depth and the breadth of the craziness that's gone on with the Democrats for so, so long. And actually, and Republicans too, it's not going to be an only Democrat thing, right? But it is so deeply, things are so deeply corrupt across so many aspects of our culture. I think so much of this is just, we're literally going to, you know, hit that top car, you know, the top domino, and the rest are just going to fall, and it's going to be pretty widespread. I believe that the Trump administration and the people that are trying to do good in this country had to have us have access to these alternative social media platforms in order to be able to share information more freely with a broader audience of people, right? So I think that's why Parler, Rumble, MeWe, et cetera, all these other ones have come out, And are now available. I mean, they just came out like within the last, 2 months, 3 months, maybe. I mean, they've been around, some of them have been around a while. Parler, I've been on Parler since June, but the groundswell for people to move to it has really presented itself in the last literally several weeks or month. And I think a big part of that is obviously we can't trust social media because we're all getting censored in some pretty terrible ways. But I think it's going to, that platform, those platforms had to be here in order to be able to create an environment where people could share information about the truth of what's really happening. So where do we stand? We are in a really interesting, spot right now as a country. All of us knew, half of us in this country knew on election night that the election numbers looked fantastic and it were right on track with what all of us inherently and instinctively knew about a big Trump victory and a red wave. And I am still sticking to that. I have been on this for months and months and months. I've been saying Trump is going to win and he's going to win by a landslide. I've shared some information. Let me see if I can dig some of that out while we're sitting here too. I've been looking at this stuff for a really, really long time. And it's been very, let me look at real quickly, Stony Brook University, election prediction. Let's see if I can find it here really fast. Here we go. So, and I'll put this link in here too. This is a really interesting one. So this guy named Helmut Norpoth is a professor of political science at Stony Brook University. And every year he puts out a predictive model for the elections. And he did one for he's done them for, I want to say almost 20 years or so. And he's been accurate with his model for, he's run his model, the data, he took the data from the elections from the last 20 years and ran them through the model. And he's been accurate. He's accurately predicted the 2016 election. And he predicted the 2020 election too, with a pretty significant Trump win. So I am trying to, and they've got it. Oh no, that's because I'm not in his, let's see if I can get it. You guys have probably seen this map. It's pretty good. I should have had this already squared away, but I just am thinking about it now while we're talking. So let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here we go. So I'll share the link to the actual map. So he actually has a 91% chance of Trump being reelected with 362 electoral votes. And a 9% chance of Biden winning, and he's predicted that Biden would have 176. Now, I believe these numbers are basically, his model is based not on polling data. So he's not doing the BS that all the news organizations do with polling data. He's actually looking at data from the primaries and how people voted in primaries. And he uses that data as a reflection of how people would vote in the elections. And because he uses on primaries, which happen before the major campaigning, I think happens, it's pure data and it's a more interesting look at it. So I'll forward it. I'm going to snag the link right now and put it into the model. And I will, his name is Helmut Norpoth. You can Google him. Helmut, H-E-L-M-U-T, N-O-R-P-O-T-H, from Stony Brook University. Okay, so stonybrook.edu. You can look him up. It's in there. It's awesome. So I have been forwarding for months and months and months his stuff because I think it's really interesting. And I like it because it's way before he predicts this way before all of the nonsense with the news media goes. So anyway, so I've had a really strong belief that Trump would win based on that, but then also on the ground experiences with voters, especially here in Virginia. And I will tell you, while Norpoth's map does not have Virginia as a red state, it's light pink on this data analysis from the Germany servers. I don't know. It's hard to say. We're kind of screwed here in Northern Virginia because we have so many people that have migrated from DC and Maryland who brought their Democrat politics with them and vote Democrat in the inner suburbs and the inner counties right by DC. And there's a couple million people in those areas, or 1.5 million, I think. The population up there is just so dense that, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, so there's a data piece of this, right? There's the data piece that says, okay, we've got our gut feel that we think, you know, we think this is going to be a red wave. We had the original election night stuff and we're like, yeah, we're in, we're good. Now then we got lied to and the ballot boxes got stuffed and the software system is all corrupt and all this other kind of stuff, which now helps us to say, okay, yeah, my gut instinct was actually right, but what is actually the outcome? And we've got some preliminary data from the server. Again, right now I'm a healthy dose of skepticism on everything when it comes to data right now. We'll see. But I'm going to lean back on Norpoth's model. I think it's about right. I like I said, I think Trump's in the 333 to 367 range. Again, only God knows what's going to wind up happening over the next couple of weeks. All right. So where does this leave us right now? There's a lot of stuff swirling around. The Antifa MAGA march stuff is noise. It's very important to know this happened, but at the end of the day, it's just ancillary noise. Obviously we don't see the left dismissing it or trying to put an end to it. I'm really close to giving up on the whole kumbaya, let's all work together business, because I know the Democrats their language clearly states that they're not interested in playing nice. So, there's that. But at the end of the day, you guys, I think this week is going to be a lot of fun. And I mean that kind of in a little bit of a weird, sadistic way, because I think the Democrats are finally going to start getting what they deserve, which is there's a lot of dark stuff that's getting ready to come to light, which the average American, the average Trump supporter does not need to worry about. You just get to sit back, eat your popcorn and say, thank you, hallelujah, for people like Rudy Giuliani and Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell and Maria Bartiromo and Hannity and all these, there's a whole laundry list of people. Michael Flynn, General Flynn has been, General Flynn has been posting a ton on Parler and really kind of being the rally point on Parler right now. So there were a lot of, for any of you guys that follow whole Q stuff, like the Q posts are always fascinating. And I take that too with a very healthy dose of skepticism, very healthy dose, but it's interesting reading. It's kind of intellectually interesting clues about all the things that are going on. So, I mean, we'll see in the end if half of that stuff actually pans out or not, who knows. But there's been in that culture, in that world, a lot of conversation that I've read about, you know, who is Q? Is it one person? Is it a group of people? Who knows what? But a lot of people have suggested that maybe General Flynn was in on that piece too. And who knows? I mean, maybe we'll find out, maybe we won't. I don't know. Well, I mean, the whole thing is so, it's just fun and fascinating. And I like intellectual challenges. And so some of the Q stuff has been there. Here's what I can promise you is going to happen. And this is where things on a personal level get really interesting for a lot of us right now. We have pretty well divided our lines between our like-minded friends and our unlike-minded friends in social media. Some of those people might even be family. It's been really tumultuous. I watched a really interesting interview yesterday on Newsmax where the host had, I think, 8 different people, just random people from the population, 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats. He asked some interesting questions, had them vote on it, had them explain a little bit. And there could not be a farther divide between our parties, which we all kind of know. But here's the thing I think that is really telling to me. If you're on the left, you're never watching Fox News. You're never getting an alternative opinion of anything. You're only believing what's being spoon-fed to you and prescribed to you through social media, left-wing social media and mainstream media. And I don't know about you guys. I actually do, for as much as I can stomach it, from time to time flip through some of these other channels because I'm just so absolutely curious about how the hell people are getting to the mindset that they're at. And that's why, because they're watching just toxic crap getting spewed to them. But here's my concern. Of the liberals that are out there that are hardened left Biden supporters, those people are never going to believe the truth, no matter how clearly it is presented to them. And at some point in time, they're going to hit a low that is gut-wrenchingly crazy. And there are some left-leaning folks who are rational human beings and thinkers who are going to start seeing a lot of this stuff coming out because mainstream media is not going to be able to hide it forever. They're going to spin the crap out of it. They're going to spin the crap out of it for a while. But what's actually going to start happening is some of them are going to start getting taken down because they're so intertwined into the corruption that people are going to start understanding there's way more to this than they're being told. Maybe I should check some other things out. They're going to start checking things out and go, oh my God, I didn't know. And for those people, I think the very best thing we as good, I'm hoping godly people on our side can do is be as gracious to those people as possible. And when they do start opening the door to having conversations with you, probably quietly one-on-one, that we are gracious in our explanation of our realities and our truths. And understand that we're going to continue to get arrows slung from the far left friends who are very hardened Democrats and Biden supporters. And it's not even that, it's that they absolutely hate Donald Trump and there's nothing that's going to change their mind. We have to understand, it's kind of like when you have a kid that's throwing a temper tantrum and you've warned them to stop and they're not stopping. You just have to ignore them and not give them the attention that they want so that they can come back to reality. And I think that we're going to be there with a lot of people. I think that there is just so much that's getting ready to happen. I think there are a lot of politicians, bureaucrats, government employees that are going to wind up getting taken out with this. I think there are legislators. I think there's going to be vacancies in the House and maybe even the Senate. They're going to have to get filled because people are going to go down hard. If this plays out the way it should play out in the courts, and we all know maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, who knows? But I have to believe that God is looking out for us and it's going to bring the good to light. And that means taking down a lot of people who are not there. And so that's going to create a lot of crazy in this country for the next couple of months. And we've got to be able to ride that out as best we can. I mean, I think that's the best thing. So look, it's exciting and positive. At the same time, I get that it's really nerve-wracking. I'll tell you, when I saw Glenn Beck's video that I shared yesterday, I saw it a couple of days ago. I shared it with you guys yesterday. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly where I'm at. I've been angry this week. I've been frustrated. I'm tired of the Republicans always losing. And I'm going to do a whole nother show, by the way, about what I think we need to do going forward and moving forward as far as leadership goes, because there is, by the way, a really big divide within the Republican Party of the people that are MAGA folk and those who are not. And those who are not are really out to screw us very subversively. And I believe that wholeheartedly. So I think that we on the MAGA side, I know everybody's, you know, very hardworking individuals and it's real, you know, salt of the earth people and really good, good, good people. But the problem we're going to have is we don't have behind Trump a huge organizational structure to ensure that our part of the truth is the part that succeeds within the GOP. So if we want a new GOP party, we have to step up and participate and start taking over from the rhinos in our party and start taking over and crafting this new GOP that we want it to be for the future. That's much more inclusive. That's much more constitutionally based. That is transparent, enormously transparent. So if we want that for our party moving forward, we have to also take out the establishment GOP folks and move them out. So just my take. I'm one suburban mom outside of Washington, DC, here in Northern Virginia, doing my thing, running my business with my two teenagers, living life. But I, this summer, really decided to step in to the political party and get really involved politically because honestly, we have to have new voices. And I'm not going to be one to say, hey, go do it, but I'm not doing it myself. So I am backing our party with my money. I'm backing the defense fund with my money. And I've offered my time to go poll watch. I did poll watch in the last election and I was a precinct captain for the GOP, but now I've also offered to go poll watch in the recount states. So I'm putting my time and my money behind what I'm saying. I'm not just filling the airwaves with more punditry. So I just want to tell you that I encourage you to do the same. Figure out some time in your world, push some things that are not as important to the side. And right now focus on giving some time, energy, and effort to the GOP party, wherever you are, because I think that we have to right now. If we want to keep this country as beautiful and patriotic as we all know it is, we have to step up. We have to be the face of the party. We have to show up and do the work. So that's me. That's my day today. That is Saturday, November 15th thoughts. There's a lot packed in here. Again, show notes always down below so you can see where I'm getting my stuff from. My superpower in this world is being able to take a lot of complex, disparate pieces of information and make sense of it and create kind of a path that makes sense. And so that's, I'm hoping that's what you get out of this. I hope it's helpful. Please feel free to share it throughout social media and on any platform. That's fine. Actually, I'm on all social media platforms, but I'm really focusing all this new content in the MeWe page called Conservative Reality Check. So feel free to join it. It doesn't cost you anything. You can join it, participate. I would love the feedback and I'd love your questions too. And please feel free to friend me here in MeWe or follow me on Rumble, share the Rumble link, whatever you want to do. I will see you guys tomorrow. I'm going to record two episodes tomorrow, I think, because Tuesday I'm actually going to be at Walter Reed all day. So I'm not going to be able to, I don't know what my time is going to be on Tuesday. So I might do two sessions. If I can, maybe I'll sneak out at some point on Tuesday and do a quick update. But nonetheless, that is my world. I'm excited that you're here. Thanks for paying attention. Our group is growing by leaps and bounds. I think this morning, I just started this on Monday this last week. And I think as of this morning, we have about 250 people in the group. So I really appreciate it, you guys. It's awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great, great day.